keep changing their security. And so they keep asking me, oh, are you sure you want to record? Oh, you're sure? Do you realize your video's on? I'm like, yeah. So,
I keep getting emails from them like I just signed up or something. And it's like, host your first meeting. It's like, why am I getting this email? You know?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't know. I think they're having growth problems maybe. So now recording, and it's 2 minutes after. So we'll get started and see if Sandy or other people join us. So for those who are listening to the replay, today is Wednesday, February 10th, and it is the first meeting for February for the CEO Circle, which means that it's our accountability, ask, and acknowledge meeting. And I know that Nadine, who lives in Australia, was interested in having comments about her proposed new program for women who are at menopause. So I thought we might kick that around. I was going to pull up her her comment on the CEO Circle in case you guys haven't seen it. Elaine, I know you have, and see if I could put it on the screen and then we could talk about it for a minute. Let's see, I should have done that before and I didn't even think about it.
I did see it and I was wondering, I forgot what she was asking because I needed to pause. If she was asking if she thought it was a good idea or if she wanted to know how to name the program.
She was asking about the name, I think, and I found it. So let me do a screen share. Okay, so you guys should, can you see that now?
Yep.
She's asking about copy. So she's asking also, I guess, about, you know, how attractive we think it would be. So she's saying that they had come up with Food, Mood, and Menopause, eight weeks to decode midlife so you can get leaner, happy, and ageless. And is that specific enough? Because I had been telling her in an off conversation, because I email her sometimes because we have such a difference in time zone, that she needed to be real specific because there's 5,298 groups around for women who are going through menopause, right? So what was her unique selling proposition, so to speak? And this is what she came up with in response to that. So I was telling her that I needed to know, was this a seminar series? And come to find out, she's doing it in conjunction with somebody else. And they were thinking about an 8-week program and then looking at a 12-week membership program. I think her drive here, and Nadine, you'll have to come into the CEO Circle forum and let me know if I'm wrong about this. But I think you and I have talked before about the fact that you wanted to try to start some type of membership service, subscription service, because you liked the steady income from that. And because your work in vet suicide is kind of draining and it's not something that is, you can't really membership that. She's tried before about healthy mental health for vets, and that kind of went nowhere because vets don't have time to really do that. So at any rate, this is the direction that she has gone off in. So I'm thinking if we would just give her some comments in this recording about the title and what could help her kind of stand out. I did give her feedback that I thought 8 weeks and 12 months is a little bit of an old-fashioned model now, that it's hard to get people to commit for an 8-week program and then to a year-long program. But you know, it might be that in Australia, that's not a problem. It might be that in Australia, that's still sellable. So at any rate, I just wanted to open it and let anyone here give her comments, since I'm trying to make her feel like she's part of us, even though she's never in the meeting.
There, sorry, I had muted because the mower guy was here. So if we're asked, I agree with you on the program. Like, I don't sign up for long-term programs unless, like, for the membership caveat, unless I can say it's month to month, you can drop anytime. And yeah, you can give a bonus if you want to sign up for 12 months in advance. I totally get that. But so I agree with you that people are just even though we know they need longer to process, they want a quick fix, right? So that piece of it, I think she needs to do it shorter. The title, when I was looking at it, it seemed like almost too much. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, it was menopause, but it was food, mood, lean, healthy, it had like 8 different words in it. So it's nothing wrong with that, but I was wondering if she might want to pick something more specific. Like you always tell us what's like that one thing you want to be known for, and use mm-hmm. that in the catchy title. And of course, all those other things are going to be part of it that you talk about in the copy. I guess that's my only initial thought.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, Claire. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Nadine, my thought is that you're promising the whole world there, like food, mood, menopause, the whole nine yards. I would put my stake in the ground and talk about maybe mood swings during menopause, how to manage them. And then underneath that, when people get into your program, you, of course, are going to talk about the relationship of food to mood and the relationship of, you know, hormonal balance and bring in speakers or whatever else you're going to do. But I think I would put my stake in the sand around one particular benefit that these women will get. So ask yourself the questions. If they had their food, their mood perfect, what is the benefit they would get? Easy menopause, smooth menopause, happy menopause, not being depressed during menopause, you know, what would the one benefit be? So that's part of my feedback. Claire, just to catch you up, we're looking at what Nadine Hamilton posted in the CEO Circle membership group, because she, you know, is in Australia, so she doesn't attend the meetings live. And if we have comments for her about this proposed group she's doing, then we're just giving her some feedback that she can listen to in the replay. Elaine, how about you? I know you said something about the name of the webinar, and she hasn't responded yet, but give me your feelings about this. Like, how would you what advice would you give to her?
Yeah, I agree with you, Sue, that, and Christy, that it's kind of like trying to be everything to everybody there. And I would go back to what is the real benefit result that, you know, we always start with the result. Like, so what is the result that they're going to get? For me, I would lose like ageless. But first of all, in the copy, you don't get ageless. I don't think that like makes really sense grammatically. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I could be in her target. Well, I'm post, so I'm not in her target, I guess. But, you know, I wouldn't expect to be ageless at this age. I know I'm not going to be ageless. You know, you might think you can be ageless when you're 30, but you know, after that, you see the signs. So maybe it's feel ageless more than, you know, be or get ageless, but I would probably drop that altogether. And really, to give more solid feedback than what I already gave, I think I need more clarity, you know, on mm-hmm. what is there a webinar that leads to the program? If so, I always like to tie the name of the webinar to the program. And so if she wants to give us any more details, Nadine, about like what the flow is and where everything stands, then we could continue working it.
Yeah. Nadine, if you want more feedback about this, come back to the CEO Circle Forum and let us know. Are you going to do like a webinar series leading up to the sale, or is it going to be a paid 8 weeks right from the get-go? Or are you thinking about shortening it a little bit? Because it is hard for people to maintain 8 weeks. I mean, you could maybe do a 5 or 10 day challenge and meet with people every day, and that might be more engaging. So there's just a lot of ideas that there's a lot of different ways you could play it. And I need to hear a little bit more about what people there will respond to if you're marketing it only in Australia, but you might be marketing it worldwide for all I know, because I'm not sure where you're partner that you're doing this with is from. She might be from the U.S., so I'm not sure. Claire, do you have anything to add to this? And then we'll close this discussion and move on, but I wanted to make sure we paid attention to her.
Everything you've said, I mean, that's it, you know, not scattergun things, you know, so that you've got one thing for people to remember.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Claire. Going back to your comment, Elaine, about the word ageless, I do get that. I think that at my age, what I want to do is not feel my chronological age. Mm-hmm. That's different than ageless. Mm-hmm. So I want to feel more energetic, or like I'm getting good sleep, or like I have the energy of a person who is younger than me chronologically. And so it might be feel more energetic, or don't, I don't know, some play on words with ageless. I agree that you could play that probably and get a stronger emotional appeal if you're targeting women who are, say, 45 and over, which she probably is, I guess, or 40 and over.
Yeah, because so, to me, it's kind of like a beauty industry word, and this is health, not beauty. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we have to say for you, Nadine, and Sandy might come back and give you some comments. She was going to join by phone today, but she might be having connection problems because she's in the car. So let me close that and just pull up this little slide. Okay, so this is what we're about today. I'm all anxious to let Elaine go first because we want to catch up with you. Is that okay with everybody?
I figured you would come to me. Huh?
What?
I figured you would come to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, congratulations on your new love life, for one. You look happy. And so just whether it's work-related or not work-related, this is CEO Circle. It's mindset for your business and your life. So fill us in on whatever you have to fill us in on. We're happy to see your face again.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was like, I miss you guys. I have to pop back in and say hello. So, I after I put up my post that got so much response, which was interesting, it was great to see that like inspired some people too that thought that love was not attainable anymore. I came up with the term, I'm on a love sabbatical at the moment. and at the same time, I'm starting to get a little bit used to not working, which is a little bit concerning, but since I'm aware of that, I guess that's, that will, you know, I'll get through that. And then, I do have, so, you know, I haven't really been focused on anything. I realized initially, it's in my typical fashion, I was like, I'm going to have this huge life change and I'm going to take a week off. And it's kind of like saying like the whole thing about, I'm going to, you know, work on this massive project and have an event and not take a day off. It's like a week, really? I mean, we haven't even seen each other in person until he got here, you know? So I was like, and some things happened that allowed me to have some more, space financially. So I was like, no, I can really like take some time off and reassess. So we've just, you know, been spending time together really. And like I said, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I'm starting to get used to not working. And at the same time, I'm kind of like back to like, I don't even really know what I want to do at the same time. And I did, my biggest event client is doing, they finally gave in and decided that they had to do their annual event, which is in the spring, virtually. So they did ask me for a proposal, but also tell me that they had a meeting with another like tech company that they'd been a speaker or with an event they did. So I gave them a proposal, and I actually teamed up with another event planner who's done a lot of virtual events because I thought like I needed that. And they just came back and said that they're probably going to go with this tech company. And most of what's in my proposal is covered. But do I want to help sell sponsorships, which is typically usually no, and, you know, work on like gamification, which was like $1,000 line item, which is like not that much. So, but I adore them and I adore their community. So I went back and I said, well, I might be able to help on sponsors, and let's both think, I would hate to not work with you guys at all. Let's both think about like what else I may be able to support you with. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't know if anybody would be able to be inside of this enough to have ideas for me, but that's kind of where I am. And at the same time, they came back with that. And at the same time, you know, I'm so kind of like burnt out on events anyway. Like, I don't even know if I want to do that. I would definitely do that for people I really like, former clients I really like, but I really don't think that I want to keep doing events anyway. So that's, there's that too.
Okay. I'm taking in all the energy of that because it's a different energy and that means different things. Christy, this is a good place for you to take a note because you help women really find what fulfills them and their purpose in life. And I just want you to note that when people like Elaine, when all of us have had an event that is 180 degrees, life-changing, surprising, deep, then it challenges us all the way down to the base of our energy and we start seeing these energetic changes and physiological changes and chemical changes in our brain from a neuroscience perspective that really sets our sights open in a different way. It's almost like we take our pair of glasses off and put a different pair of glasses on that helps us see the world in a completely different way, see things in plants or trees or wherever that we didn't see before. Literally, it changes our lives from the inside out. So that's the process, Elaine, that you're going through. But Christy, for you, I think a lot of women are going through that kind of massive shift right now. And that's one reason I think your work is so needed. Because Elaine, what you're really talking about is you're in a space where you've let go of a lot of preconceived things about what your life is going to be like. And you are basically kind of floating and starting to find your whole new ground. Like, what is the ground? Mm-hmm. What I call the ground of being for each person is different, right? And so for you, it is really, what is going to be your new ground? Is it going to be this relationship plus work, this relationship and no work? Is it going to be something that is a completely new interest because you're in a different energy field now that you are more interested in something that you perhaps weren't interested in ever before? Or maybe it's a new interest that you haven't thought of? Because when you have profound changes, it really does reset your eyes, your thinking, and what you're attracted to. And I think that's the process. You were sort of in that process before because you kept saying, I'm not really all that excited about events. But now you've really thrown yourself into that through your decisions of, you know, now that you've got a partner and so forth. So congratulations for one thing, but also I'm kind of like, ooh, I wish I was there to pat you on the back because it can kind of be a scary place to be. You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, now what am I going to do? If I'm not going to do events and I'm wanting to have work that I can, that works with my new relationship, then that probably doesn't mean doing events and flying off all over the place unless he's free to work from, I don't know what he does, but if he's free to work from anywhere and you could travel together, I mean, I don't know, but there's all those considerations to think about, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of got an energetic hit about the sponsorship thing. While I know it's not anything you typically do, it might be just enough engagement to give you a little bit of work-related activity over the next few months. And since you like those people very well, it might also lead you to some interesting conversations with the sponsors that would perk your brain about what is it next that I would most like to do? And, or even, am I going to work?
Well, that is not a good question. I have to. No. That's not a quite, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a matter of, I mean, right now I would be in the scan mode where I'm looking at a lot of things. I'm having a lot of conversations with people. I'm kind of taking it all a little bit lightly, but I'm listening real hard. What mm-hmm. do I hear? What do I feel I'm attracted to go and do? What are they saying is in the future for their business? Kind of starting to just scan. I call it scanning the universe, like just kind of see what you get when you're out there. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that sponsorship thing would be one way to kind of easily do that and be in contact with other businesses. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The gaming thing, I don't see you spending your life as a gamification person. So that, I mean, if you want the $1,000, fine, but it's, I don't think that's going to take you anywhere as much as scanning is going to take you. And I'm going to hush and see if other people have input for you, but that's the read that I get from this.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Were you asking for input, Elaine, or just sharing? I mean, I don't mean that to be mean, but like.
Yeah, I mean, I was asking, you know, if anybody had ideas about how I could serve this event client, but I mean, I don't know that that's possible for somebody to answer without being, you know, more inside, like I said. And yeah, I'm open to any feedback about anything I said. So
I like what Sue said about your scanning the universe. I feel like you're in this place that you can sit and rest and just let it happen for a season. Like you said, I have to work, but maybe you don't have to work right now. So you have that flexibility. And the love piece, and I'm that, like, that's not my deal, but there is something to, you're open to this new love, new old love of your life. If you let that love in, I think the rest is going to find you. And that sounds really strange. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but it's that energy, because now you've opened up to something different. You've opened up to love. So many people have been burned out in their jobs. Like you said, Sue, women are feeling, I can't have love. I can't have the right job. I can't deal with my kids. Now I got to homeschool, whatever your situation is, but it's going to find you because you've opened up to this new space. And it's almost as if you have the freedom to sit in it for a season. And like Sue said, if you do a little bit of the sponsorship or something, I don't know, that may be enough just to keep your, that part of your brain working, but there's nothing wrong with just sitting in it and being able to just be, because then I do believe the universe is going to put things your way because you're open to that expansive energy. Now you're open to what can be because you didn't think you could be open to love. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that's what I heard you saying. And it happened. So that's like the open door to the next thing. It can be something new that you maybe never thought of, but you need to just sit in it, and that's okay.
That's a really good reminder, Christy. I appreciate that, because really, I'm not that into human design, and I don't think, I thought I was a projector, and I'm not, but the projector is the one that stuff just comes to, and that's kind of how it's always been. And when I try to figure it out, you know, then I'm pushing, and you know, the things that did happen in 2020 did just kind of come to me, and my getting back into events just came to me. And so that's a good reminder. I appreciate that. Thank you.
The other thing you might think about is, okay, I need to be businesslike because I know eventually I have to work. And so what can I do that kind of at least exercises my brain a little bit and keeps me making contacts, I guess I would say. And I'll do that while I'm having this sabbatical a little bit, but I'm not going to go do it full bore. But I am going to set a date by which I'm going to tell myself I have to go really start going back and deciding, not go back to work, but by such and such date, March 1st or April 1st or whatever, I have to start formulating my thoughts and my energies and my feelings about what will I do next. Not saying you have to go to work on that day, but I have to start getting serious about what am I going to do, since I think I want to make a change.
Yeah. That's good.
Anything else? Claire, do you have any comments for Elaine?
I know so little about event planning, except for the events I've been to, but it seems like such a big job.
That's why I'm tired of it. It's a lot of freaking work.
Big job.
Ooh. Yeah. You know, maybe the deal is frame it up. I mean, I always tell brand new clients when I start working with them, and they're, I get a lot of people who are tired of their business and they want to reframe it. And I'm like, tell me what you want your life to be like. Tell me what your parameters are. Do you want to travel, yes or no, for business? Do you have someone who you want to travel because you have somebody who can travel with you, yes or no? Do do you want to be working 20 hours a week or less, or do you need the money that you feel like you're going to have to hit it harder than that? You know, like just tell me the lifestyle stuff about what mm-hmm. you want for your business, not the what is the business, but just what do you want for your lifestyle? And I think right now you guys are probably figuring that out, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of in that stage of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Well, keep it. Yeah, keep us posted. And if you have questions, you can drop them in the forum. Okay, who's next? Who wants to talk about accountability and acknowledgement and ask? Claire, you or Christy?
Christy, go ahead.
She's okay. Put you on the spot, Christy.
Okay. I'm patting myself on the back because I actually started and completed my re-engagement campaign with my email list. I just got off my butt and planned it and did it. And I did it in a 1 week period. I sent out 3 emails and each one told a little story about where I'm at. And then they got kind of shorter, but still last chance, basically, if you want to stick with me. And, you know, you always cross your fingers. And I got probably about 15% of people who re-signed up. But you know what? I felt okay about that because other people hadn't opened my emails anyway. And I felt renewed that these were women who want to be here. I was very clear about what's coming down the road and that if they want to journey with me. And in one of the emails, I even put, let me know how you're doing. Cause I, you know, wrote, this is what kind of a short story, what I've been going through the last couple of years. And I said, email me and let me know how, you know, what's new with you. And I actually had a lot of people do that. I was really surprised. Right. And so that told me the women who re-signed up are fully engaged. They're excited. Yes. They were updating me. So even though I don't want to say lost, cause I think I didn't have all these other people in the beginning. So I felt really good about doing such a good cleanup on my list and starting over. And that actually energized me to start the new campaign that's going out this week already to the new people.
I'm totally thrilled for you. A+ effort. Yay. Because yes, you have identified the people who want to walk the path with you. You have energized them by asking about them. And furthermore, here's what you need. Here's the critical piece. Now you've pared the list down and you've got interested, engaged people. So you have 2 big tasks. Number one, to keep those people engaged. But number two, to sit and really look at who are those people and develop a new avatar for your business based on those people so that you'll know where to go find more just like them.
Well, and then the exciting thing from that is 2 of the people private messaged me and I just sent them like an intake form because they potentially want to work with me. And my website isn't even up yet. Like it was enough where they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I know what you've done in the past. And they said, are you still coaching people? I couldn't find your website. So note to self, that's like, I have to get that up now. I'm almost done writing the content, but I have a clearer understanding, like you said, who am I writing to? Because I realized my first pass, I was writing all about me. And so even though the about page, yes, is about me, but all the others, I inverted that and it's about them and about what they are going to need. So all of that together, I feel like I've got a stronger footing and 2 potentially new clients without even the website going, but that also helped me focus on who do I want to accept as a client.
Yes, exactly.
You know, because one, and there was actually a 3rd one, but I can tell you that's not what I want to do. So I gave her another avenue, but it helped me saying, oh, no, that doesn't feel right. I don't do that anymore. And so I think it's all just felt like it's coming together, but it just took that movement and to actually do it and not be afraid of losing people and just saying, now I've got something to work with.
Yeah, numbers really don't reflect it. I mean, everybody talks about numbers. I'm not saying they're unimportant, but you've got really a clear, do you see how the energy bounced back to you? You got these 2 potential clients already. People are responding to this vibe. So now it is keep that vibe with those people, but also what kind of people are they? Where where would you find more people like that, so that you can then start building your list with that and get that more engaged type of woman. I think that's really, it's difficult to do in these days anyway, when everybody's attention is so scattered. And so it's great. That's a solid, solid start. I'm really super proud of you. It's great.
Yeah, it was good because it was a good theme. What they were asking for work on is really where I want to go. And it goes back to what we were talking with you, Elaine, about most of the women are like, I realized in this last year, I don't really like what I'm doing, or I feel like I don't know who I am anymore. Like it fed into everything I've been writing. And so the energy shift is that circle suit. Like I felt, once I stood there and said, this is my space,
it's
opening up. So I'm actually very excited about that. I've got a lot of work to do, but I opened the gateway to that.
Yeah. And you have a lot more forward energy toward that work. You've got a forward energy path because you've gotten responses, and because you know that people who are remaining on your list are truly interested in what it is you have to say and truly engaged. And so, you know, that's a big deal. That's hard. It takes a while to find that. I continue to think that I think a lot of women who are at a certain age, 40 plus, probably 45 plus, are really looking at, I don't like the way my life is so structured and so demanding, and I want something else in life. And what happened is the pandemic came and it just leveled the field. All these women who were on the edge, they're now over the edge. And all those people who weren't really quite yet talking about their feelings, it pushed them to talk about their feelings because they either got more of what they didn't want or they have had some kind of loss. I mean, I have a friend who lost both of her grandmothers and a mother and her father-in-law to COVID. So it's completely changed their family dynamic, right? And they lived in kind of a family compound, all their family was close together. So it's massive, massive change on a scale that we really don't even understand yet. And we need leaders. We need strong women to help give us a sense of where we are in community and how we get ourselves back into a lifestyle for each one of us that is satisfying and deep and pleasurable and thoughtful and created with a lot of thought, not just, okay, this happened to me, so I have to ride with it, you know? And those are the people you're looking for. You're not really looking for the women who let something happen and then whine afterwards that it happened, right?
Mm, exactly.
Yeah. So what's your promise for accountability for this coming month? Now, I'm anxious to hear. You've done such a great job with this past one.
Yeah. Well, the next one is to actually finish the website, get the sales pages up, because I'm going to funnel them into three different things and release get my membership site built the way I want it to. I know that sounds like a lot, but I'm almost done with the copy for the website, so that shouldn't take too much longer. But this month, I have to get that website going and the foundation of the membership group and just release it and not worry about having too much content on there.
Well, they're changeable anyway. When you get it launched, you know you're going to go back and fine tune it depending on responses that you've had, or you'll decide one day you want to change copy. My website literally changes almost every day. It's a living, breathing beast. What are your three options?
My first option is if they are just looking for purpose, it's called, and I'm going to finesse the words a little bit, but basically, if they're looking for purpose, and right now it's a 4-week live coaching with me. I might do a video series and have that be a little lower price so they could just buy it as a video self-coaching. But live with me. So just basic, I don't even have a clue to my purpose, but I know there's something more. And that's just like a short one-on-one coaching with me. The second option is join the membership and get a little more teaching. And then the third option is my big ticket item, where if they really are ready to go and they want to take their personal brand and their lifestyle and figure out it's their life plan basically, and how do they walk out their destiny and all the pieces, what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, and they walk away with a 90-day plan, and that's a 2-day intensive with me.
Okay, I like those. Okay, so you'll have, will you have an opt-in, a different opt-in for each one of those then, when you say you'll have 3 choices on the website?
Well, so that's a good question. Right now, there'll be one main opt-in on the front page, homepage of the website, and it'll say, okay, where are you on your success path to purpose? And then that's like the quiz. And in that quiz, it'll be a PDF that says, if depending on how they answer, the answer will be funneled one of those 3 programs.
Got it. Okay.
Click for more information on right. one of those 3 programs. And that's the only way I can think of to do it simple right now.
Right.
And get okay. out there. So I don't know if there's a better way to do it, but I want to be able to have them take action after they do that quiz and put them in one of those 3 categories.
Right. Okay. I think it sounds solid to start with. You may end up tweaking it after you've got experience with it, but you've got to start somewhere. And that sounds like a reasonable way to get started. Just remember, just always be thinking about number of clicks. You want to minimize it as much as you can to get to the goal. So just keep that in mind as you're designing, but I think it's solid.
Yeah, I think between that and I'm going to start doing some short challenges, like 3 or 5 day challenges.
Yeah.
In combination. So each of those will have different opt-in forms for the challenges that may be geared to one of them, but you know, the beauty of it for me is I found my core and the rest kind of goes around it. So if I'm speaking that focused message, even if they click on any one of those 3 independently, they'll be able to navigate through and decide. But it's a start. So that for me, the accountability is it just get that going and let myself massage it over time instead of waiting another 6 months until I think I have the perfect solution.
Right, because it's never going to be perfect anyway. No. So, yeah. Okay. And Elaine, you've had some pretty good luck with getting people added to your list with 5-day challenges in the past, haven't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like leading them. The last one I did was 5 days with bonus days, and that was too much. So I would, Christy, if you wanted, and you didn't ask for it, but if you wanted any advice, I would go with the shorter based on the challenge that I did in December, I would go with the shorter challenge and see how that does, because people's capacity still is just, you know, not what it used to be.
I was thinking 3 days is better because I signed up for a couple 5-day ones and I myself never made it past day 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't either. I mean, sometimes I go back and I listen to it because I'm interested in it. But the timing and my schedule's so crazy, and I just usually can't do a 5-day thing, even if it's something I'm really, really interested in. So, yeah. Okay, do you have anything you need to ask of us? If you want to put copy up, you know we're happy to review it on the forum. Let us know what you need.
I don't have an ask today. I'm just proud of myself for finishing one thing I said I was going to do.
I think you're off to a great start, and hats off, because it's I recently took right at 1,800 people off my list, and the open rate shot up for one thing, which is better for you, because listen, almost every single email service provider lately has had their IP blocked because of emails that are bouncing or emails that are reported as spam. And so that affects all the clients, every single one of their customers. So they're getting really picky. And so you have to really think about that open rate now much more than you used to. I'm kind of seeing that as a trend. So
yeah.
Claire, how about you? What do you want to talk about today?
What does that mean that who's closing you down? Eye contact and constant contact and those vehicles? Well, okay. So back up. So two things are emotionally challenging me this right now. And one is that I just found out the house I live in and lived in for 7 years is going to go on the market for sale. So that is challenging because, well, there happens to be, you know, rents here are crazy expensive, just insane. And if you wanted to live in San Francisco, you could do it for my budget, but I don't want to live in San Francisco. I live right across the bridge in Sausalito. Yeah, small town. So anyway, that, and then I'm fighting, and I can't find legal representation for this. I'm fighting hard with the franchise tax board for an old debt they say I owe, God knows, in 2009. You know, when the market went nuts, went, you know, south for us. There, so I can't find anybody who can give me good advice because nobody wants to fight with the government. It is a moot, I am on the side of right, but you know, whether or not you can win with a government entity like the Franchise Tax Board, who knows? But they're talking about, first they said $47,000 I owed them, and then they said $10,000. So it had to do with a S Corp that I had in business in 2000 for 10, 15 years. But they claim I never wrote the final paper saying that it was not in business anymore. So that's what their claim. That's what their claim is. Their claim is against that, and with fees and all that. Anyway,
can you, can you prove that you did?
It's not legitimate. Well, I moved so many times after when I sold my house in 2009, and then my daughter and I moved to a condo in Sausalito, and then she left to go to school. So then I moved and moved and moved and moved, and things were in storage. So the long answer is I can't find that paper. You know, I mean, and anything in 2009 has been expunged from my computer, or I have gone through two other computers since then, don't have the
records.
So the point is I can't legitimize it with a paper.
It's so interesting. They went from $47,000 fine to $10,000.
Yeah. Well, I thought
if you're looking for representation, I wouldn't even call anyone who isn't a tax attorney. I would go to a tax attorney.
Right. Yeah.
Because then nobody else is going to want to take your case. So that's for number one, if it helps. Yeah. I'm sorry about the move. So you're going to have to be out and looking for another place to hang your hat. Do you have a short period of time, or do you have a long period of time?
No, I'm okay. Probably June or July. So it's enough time. I mean, that's when the house is probably going to put on the market. Who knows? I mean, who knows? They might say, hey, you've been a great tenant for 7 years, stay. Who knows? Or they might be, my house is an 1896 house. So it's got its personality. And the family upstairs is moving back to Germany. Anyway, so there's that going on, which is kind of emotionally, you know, disturbing. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, let's see how much time I've got. Okay. A real estate agent approached me about the idea of, this is what I sent to you prior to Monday's meeting, Sue.
Yeah.
About the idea of doing in her neighborhood, which is a very older, established, wealthy neighborhood, a campaign combining the two of us together, her, the real estate agent for sales, me, the agent for prepping the house, doing the hard, what I call hard staging. So it's, you know, resurfacing and all that stuff. Anyway, so what's been your, I haven't tried postcards in years, and I don't know what the current strategy is. I looked it up in YouTube and online, but it wasn't very helpful. But I'm thinking, I'm thinking in her little neighborhood, if we just concentrate on her neighborhood and do three mailings of postcards with her skills and mine together and what we can offer people. But what the conversation today has been helpful because it focuses me on the idea and what you have to keep reminding yourself that you're talking about what is the best result for them. You know, selling their house faster for more money, of course, you know, and having somebody who's an agent, she's been in business 30 years and knows what she's doing is helpful. But strategy on that.
Right. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, you said it was in Florida.
No. Oh, no, it's in her neighborhood. Okay. Oh, no, I don't know how that came up. No. It's in her neighborhood, which is Larkspur, which is the neighborhood up from me.
So second of all, here's my view when I sat to think about this. She's the realtor. It's up to her to get the listings, and she can advertise in her postcards that she has somebody who can do the hard staging, the resurfacing, and the kind of basically the updating of the house before it gets put on the market, because they'll get so much better price. But it's really not up to you to help her find those listings. And that's not what your skill set is. That's her skill set.
Well, it would go out under her office and in the real estate office's mailing list. So right. In a way, I'm piggybacking onto her marketing.
Right. But you're not going to be called, if I understand you correctly, you're not going to be called into play until she actually gets a listing. Is that correct?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Okay. If that's correct, then, I mean, to me, if I were the realtor, I would be saying, I have somebody I'm going to bring in. We can help you do the hard restaging. You'll get more money for your house. She's very skilled at what she does. If she wants to say your name, that's fine. But as far as the real estate strategy of getting listings, that she should know how to do that if she's been in real estate 30 years. So ask her what's the most effective for her.
People aren't doing postcards much anymore. You see, they're not landing in your post box much. But like you're saying, there's all kinds of stuff with mass mailing to emails. I don't know how that's working out either.
Yeah, you know, we never get postcards anymore, but almost if we did, it would make me take a look just because somebody took the time to do it. It's different. You know, she could go do Facebook Live. She could do an Instagram account. I mean, she's got 1,000 different things at her fingertips as a 30-year realtor. She could send an email to everybody who she sold a house to, who say 3 years ago or more, because at 3 years, people start thinking about moving. Ask me. I've been having that conversation with Bill. We've been here 3.5 years now. So it's kind of crazy. So, you know, I would say, what tried and true methods have you been using? Is it just word of mouth for you now that you've been in business 30 years? But why not hit her list of people who have been in their house at least 3 years and might be interested in either renovating, even if they're not moving,
that neighborhood,
or selling?
That neighborhood, you know, that neighborhood is so established. They're older adults, maybe fifth in their 50s. Their kids are through college. They've been living there 25 years. That's why the focus is on a selling market. Yeah.
Right. Got it. Yeah. Some of them might be looking to downsize. I'm going to hush and see if other people have ideas for you, but that's where my thoughts kind of go.
Well, I have a question, Claire. Is she asking you to market yourself?
No, she's asking us to come up with a design that she could turn over to a graphic designer, like a postcard that would feature both of us and then our skills as a team.
So she's just asking for graphics from you.
Well, I wouldn't do the graphics. So she's just asking for a headshot and the main things I could contribute, the benefits I could contribute to the process. Because those houses, a lot of them have not been updated. You know, that's a...
How old is that? That sounds easy though. It sounds to me like you just have to come up with a couple selling points that she's going to put in a postcard and let her do the work.
Right.
It's worth trying, I think, definitely. I mean, it's a big expense, really.
It's not a big expense. She's doing it, essentially. So the question I have is, that something you do, that same card repeated 2 and 3 times, you know, to get an effect? Do people just sling it the first time and then does the number count? I mean, should we be doing 1,000 mailers and 3 times?
Okay. My answer back to you is that she should know the answer to that. She's been a realtor for 30 years. Ask her.
I think she has depended totally on personal referrals. And this is kind of like, let's try this. You know, it's pretty casual.
Yeah. I don't know who her broker is, but I mean, honestly, there, I mean, Bill's a realtor, so this is why I know a little bit about it. There's literally a list of 1,000 different ways you can farm a community. That's called farming a community. And yeah, you could do postcards, you could walk the neighborhood and do Facebook Lives. I will tell you, anything isn't going to work unless you do it about 7 times. Oh, you have to really establish your name in a neighborhood. If you send one postcard, you're wasting your money. Yeah, if you send 3 postcards, you're wasting your money. It has to be 7 touches.
So maybe that could be emails as well as postcards. Back to that old-fashioned way.
Maybe. But I mean,
it's the same people. Then you have to have their address and their email address, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So she should have a huge, if she's been in real estate 30 years, she should have a huge database. Yeah,
she should. She should. So do I. I've been developing it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome.
Can he find me a place to live?
Well, that I can't help you with because I don't know anybody in Sausalito.
Oh, God.
Going back to your, developing your info product that you were working on in Mexico, how is that coming?
I mean I'm meeting on Saturday to launch it. It just seems like the launch is so walking in soft cement. So yeah, we're moving that forward. I'm meeting with her on Saturday, my little helper.
Oh, okay, great.
Thank
okay.
you for asking.
Thank yeah. you. Well, that was your accountability thing. You said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to write while I'm in Mexico and I'm going to get it done. So that sounds like you're at the point of looking at the marketing for it.
Right. Well, I've got that. I've been using another girl that I love her, but I can't use her that much because she's not legal. She's from Hungary. So I can't write her off, you know. But she has gone through thousands and literally, I'm not exaggerating, thousands of business cards, calling them out, you know, separating and then checking on Google to see if the information is still alive and well, and then putting it into Excel. So we've been working on that process for 2 weeks and we've gotten it trimmed way down.
So like Christy, you've been, kind of getting rid of old contacts that are not
getting
useful
rid of
for
all.
You anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Anything else from any of you?
Sue, I had wondered if you had anything else to share with us about that predictions webinar that you had posted. Yeah. I didn't get back to watching it. That was so annoying that you couldn't pause it. I was 25 minutes in and it was like 11:30 at night. And I was like, I can't watch the rest of this. And I don't even know if he'd gotten to any predictions really by 25 minutes in, because they have that big splashy, you know, advertisement at the beginning with Tony Robbins and all those people. And I'm like, oh gosh. So
I know that part of it I always hate. I'm laughing because I said to Bill, you really have to listen to this. And he went to listen to it. And after about 25 minutes, I heard him from his office saying, well, damn it, I can't turn this off. I thought about you. It's the same thing.
Same spot.
Same exact spot, yeah. So he was, and he came in with his iPad in his hand. He was like, can I not turn this off? And I'm like, nope, that's probably.
That's so annoying.
It is very annoying. I wish Mike wouldn't do it. Yeah. Okay, the takeaways for people like the four of us, I think, from Mike, are that he is seeing how with technology, it is easier, it's harder to stand out from the mass crowd, as we all know, and we've known that for a long time. He is saying that it's easier to become a unit, what he calls a unit of one. A unique unit of one, a skill set and an expertise that no one else can match. And the reason that it's easier is because you can use so much tech to get you there. You can do video. He's, of course, still big on video. You can use publishing. He's still big on some kind of publishing, you know, information products or a book or something that positions you uniquely. So he's like, the underlying thing is use the very high-tech things that we have and the new things that are coming out. He talked a little bit about Clubhouse to get out there and position yourself. But before you do that, you have to have one simple message. Because if you don't have, if you have anything that's scattered, you will be dismissed immediately because of the attention span of people and how much harder the attention span, those things we've talked about before. So, you know, his offer, so to speak, at the end of all of that stuff is, you know, oh, if you want to come work with me, we will help you do a book. We will position you graphically. We will set up a YouTube channel. We will give you the content that you need to be talking about that one particular thing. But it really is, what is this one thing? And then let's use all the tech at our disposal. Start a Clubhouse club, start a this, start a that, and be in three or four different venues publishing somewhere on social media, and video would be his three. Those would be the three he would pick. And you would have your choice of where on social media. Mm-hmm. But
what's his name?
Hammer at this one thing. Your unique one thing.
What's so, his name, sir?
Mike Koenigs. It's K-O-E-N-I-G-S, Koenigs. He's a guy in San Diego that I've known for a while, and he really is a futurist, and he's talking about, he talked a lot about suspended belief, and he posits that right now, because of the pandemic and the economic consequences of the pandemic, many people have suspended belief. They think they want to do something with their life, but they feel like they just absolutely cannot, because the world has kind of turned upside down from what they knew. And so you can't get them to take action until you unsuspend their belief. So whatever your one thing is, your marketing needs to be talking to your one person, you know, your avatar that's real specific about how do you really start believing, you know, how do you start feeling within yourself that you can do this thing that you've always wanted to do. And then that's where your unique expertise comes in. The other thing he talked about was that experiences and the experiences of you, the person making the offer, are far more appealing emotionally to the buyer than credentials at this point in time. Now, I 100% I believe that. Never have I had anybody ask me about any of the degrees I have. Never. They don't care. They want to know, what can I help them with? So, you know, if you do a bad job, they may go back and think, well, what are her credentials anyway? But if you're on your game, nobody's ever going to ask you that question. And so he sees people falling into this thing of, let me go get more training and let me go get more certification. And it's really a waste of money. So, but this thing of suspended belief, and how can we help people turn their suspended belief into action again? I thought that was a really interesting little part of his talk. And I'm trying to think what else. At the end, he talked about some health stuff that he does that he's into. And the thing that was most interesting to me for that is he's been using peptides, injectable peptides, to help with, he hurt his shoulder and trying to get healing from that. He is kind of a futurist in medicine too. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Mike's story, but about 6 or 7 years ago, he had very advanced terminal rectal cancer, and he healed that. He went to Duke from California and got some experimental treatments. And he said it was the most miserable thing he'd ever been through in his life. And to this day, he's still cancer free, but he also used a lot of woo-woo and a lot of really alternative medicine stuff. Cause he's, you know, he's wealthy. He has access to all that kind of stuff, you know, when you've got to pay out of your pocket, right? So he's really into health and healing, and he does a lot of things to keep his health up, and he and his wife, Vivian, keep their health up. So peptides and these injectable peptides, I'll put the link in the CEO circle if you guys are interested in it. I actually thought, I might try this for some of the leg pain I've got. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, that was kind of his big thing health-wise. But marketing wise, it is really, we don't market enough our uniqueness. Instead, we have an offer that sounds like everybody else's offer. And I think that's true in a lot of cases.
You know,
like Claire, you're very, huh?
Where I'm seeing the shift is, I'd say in my 25 or 28 years, whatever it's been, when I walk in interview for a new job, a bathroom or a kitchen design, let's say, and I do my fun stuff with, I walk around with a tape measure and I say, well, what if that? So it usually gets people bright in the eyes, you know, and they get excited. And I would say in my history, 85% of the time that I do that correctly, I walk out with a check, which is a commitment to start the design. Right. Recently, what's happened, which is so strange, I've seen it happen with contractors, but never with designers. Now I'm getting people tell me, well, I'm going to interview 3 or 4 designers. I'm going, oh my God, you're going to spend 3 to 6 months with this person. You know, what is it that you're so afraid of? They seem to me afraid. In other words, you know,
people are right. When you have suspended belief, you want a group decision.
Is that it?
And then you never get anything decided because it's not, a group can't decide for your life. Now, Bill and I noticed that actually years ago when we sold our big house on the lake in Tennessee and moved to Nashville. I mean, that was a substantial, it was 5 acres on the lake with 2 docks and boats, and it was a substantial property. All these 30-year-olds were coming to look at it, and Bill and I always have gone and looked at a house by ourselves. Oh my God, they have 12 or 14 people with them. All their friends.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
My dad, I'm not kidding. It shocked us. 12 or 14 people, all of their buddies and friends, their moms and dads had flown in from California or New York or everywhere. And it was just like a group. I mean, it was like a colony of people, a hive of ants moving through your house. And they would spend, instead of, you know, 15 minutes looking over the house, 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was crazy. We've never been through anything like that before. And I learned right then and there, people who have a different viewpoint on life, they want the group growth. They want the group to tell them what's okay. And then that's what you're running into, Claire.
Is that it? I was just like, I thought must be because of social media. They're so accustomed to being contacted over and over and over. Maybe that's where I'm missing the bet. You know,
they're looking to a home improvement show, and the home improvement show is, you know, always get 3 estimates. And I mean, we've done that before. We've gotten 2 or 3 estimates, but if we've met somebody we've really liked, we've like done the deal right. We're redoing our pool right now. Guy came, blah, blah, blah. I was like, energetically, that's a hit. Here's a check. When can you start? Coming
exactly.
In a couple of weeks.
Exactly. You know, that's always been.
That's the minority. Yeah, that's the minority now. It's not the way people think now. So you have to think about that.
Do you guys think it's because the client is, or the potential client is getting hit so many times over with social? Is that
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think people are fear-based.
Don't you think that people are probably more risk-averse right now too? Because the world is unstable. So,
right.
You know, like it goes to what Sue was saying about I forgot what you called the term that you just used from the guy, but.
Suspended belief.
Suspended belief. Yeah.
So you want to do it, but it's scary.
Okay, so how do you address that? That's the question, huh? You remove the scare, you remove the threat, the fear, but how do you do that? How do you do that, Christy?
Well, I think it goes back to, doesn't this make sense for all of you? It goes back to, they have to know, like, and trust you. Like, Sue, your pool person, like, you listen to what they said. There, you must have felt like, I know this guy, I like him, I trust him, this is the right person. Like, it's a feeling. And they have to make that decision because they don't want to be afraid of spending a lot of money and then not liking it. So they really have to understand and know you and feel like you're going to help them versus you're just there to do a job.
And they have to be ready. But they also have to be ready to buy. And if they're too scared and they're just exploring, maybe they're putting out feelers, they're thinking they're going to do it in 6 months or, you know, gathering information. So they have to be ready.
I think it's that. I think is that because I, you know, I can have a call with somebody who says they want to work with me, and I can tell in 3 minutes, well, they're kind of scanning the waterfront. They're not really ready yet. They're just, it makes them feel good that they're putting out feelers so they can say they can, oh yeah, I did talk to somebody today, but they're not any closer to really making any kind of change in their business or their life.
And do you think the COVID is influencing that, or is that where a lot of the fear is coming from?
Part of it. It certainly changed our culture.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you might ask, you might say toward the end of your visit with them, something like, I know this is a huge investment and a lot of your time and energy, and you want things to really work for you and be functional. What questions do you have of me right now? And maybe if they start asking questions, they would, that know, like, and trust factor that Christy was talking about would go higher.
Yeah, it was strange because I came recommended. I mean, it was a referral from a good past client,
And some, you know, also too, sometimes, you know, it might have been that they were thinking it was going to be half the money too. I mean, I think a lot of people have, especially with houses, they think, oh, I want to redo my bathroom, and they make all big plans. They talk about it for a year. And when they finally get the contractor out there and he goes, well, this is going to be $25,000, they go, oh, well, maybe I don't want to do this, you know, because it costs more than, they were unrealistic. They were unrealistic in their expectations.
Yeah. If they're watching HGTV or they're reading things that are reflective of the Midwest, they're going to be unrealistic.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else from anyone?
I just want to tell a funny story because I was on, I was on Clubhouse a lot in the beginning, just listening, and then, you know, sabbatical.
Well, I was on it. Yeah.
I went on it the other night and I heard some crazy stuff, which I thought of you since, you know, I saw that you hosted something in there. You know, these rooms where they've got like a million moderators.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that can be a big problem. And maybe they'll fix this, but because a moderator can drop people. And I came into this big conversation. It was about events, I think, virtual events. And the main moderator, the main host, was kind of putting her foot down. And she said, I don't usually do this, but that was really rude. Somebody knocked off, deleted that speaker in the middle of them speaking, and that shouldn't happen. And that's really rude. And I don't normally do this, but so let's move on. And then somebody knocked her off, and she was, it was her thing. And then this other guy came on and was like, that was really rude. I can't believe it. I'm just going to close this room. And I was like, whoa. And then I popped into another room, and something else crazy was happening. And I don't even remember what it was now, but I was like, whoa, this is the drama, you know, the Clubhouse drama.
There's a lot of Clubhouse drama. I don't know what to think of Clubhouse, and I'd be happy to meet up with you guys sometime and just discuss it. If I don't know if it's potentially good or potentially bad. I hear arguments on both sides. For me personally, I don't have time to sit with my ears to that thing all day long. Like, I'm busy working. I don't know how these people do that all day long, but it could be an interesting thing. And it, I think one reason it's popular is people can multitask while they're on there. I've seen them doing it. I was in with somebody who we were co-hosting, and I could see her muting herself. And I actually got on another phone and looked, and she was in three rooms at once. And she had asked me to host a room with her.
Oh, wow.
So they love it because they can multitask. Yeah. They can multitask. They can act like they're there and come in if they hear their name mentioned. So it's like an ADD person's dream. You know, you don't have to be present in the moment. And I'm kind of I really want to energetically be present in the moment and see where we need to go. So I don't know that it's going to work for me, but I don't know. I'm in there. If anybody needs an invitation, I've got some invitations. I'm happy to extend it to you, but I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll all meet by Clubhouse one of these days. I want to say to Patrice, who is still a member of CEO Circle, but we haven't seen her in a while. Patrice, we miss you. I know that you are having internet connection problems way up in the North Hinterlands, as well as probably freezing your tail off. But we hope that you get that solved so that we can see your bright, smiling face. And Nadine, I hope you like the comments we gave you at the front. And Sandy, I'm sorry that you had trouble connecting. I know you said you were going to call in and maybe internet connection along the interstate sometimes not the best. So we will meet again the 24th. This is a short month, the 24th. By the 24th, I will be out of my self-imposed 13-month isolation. So very glad about that. And I will actually feel like I can, you know, stick my head out the door and not come down with some deadly disease. So I'm happy about that. See you guys soon. Let me know if you need anything.
Bye.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.